Welcome to Sharing the Victory, the weekly radio program from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the heart and soul in sports. All eyes are on the baseball playoffs and the upcoming World Series. Today, we'll hear from one of the top story makers of the 2008 season, Josh Hamilton of the Texas Rangers.
I went for the worldly things. It was never, you know, satisfying. And I'm so happy he is that God that, you know, you can have more than one chance with.
Plus, former New York Yankee second baseman Bobby Richardson will be part of the program.
The Lord, in a very humbling way, has given me some wonderful, wonderful opportunities over the years. 9 out of the first 10 years that I played, they won the pennant, and we were playing in World Series competition.
And we'll continue our conversation with FCA One Way to Play spokesman Steve Fitzhugh.
We take the air out of peer pressure and we minimize peer influence when we build up an identity in who we are in Christ.
Here's the host of Sharing the Victory, University of Nebraska assistant football coach Ron Brown.
Well, the baseball playoffs are heating up and the start of the World Series is just days ahead. We're going to get you ready with a couple of intriguing baseball interviews. Our first one is Texas Rangers All-Star Josh Hamilton. What an amazing season. 304 batting average, 32 home runs, 130 runs batted in. But what an amazing story. God's redemption in his life from drug abuse. Sharing the Victory's Bill Bumpus recently caught up with Josh Hamilton with this very inspiring interview.
Josh, thanks for being with us and congratulations on a great year.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Let's first of all talk about just the platform that the Lord has really given you. And I guess it started a few years ago after the suspensions and the drug abuse, but getting with Cincinnati, having a great year, and then being traded to the Rangers and just a sensational season. But more than just the platform, I'd really like for you to talk about the grace and the mercy that you experienced from the Lord. And what was that like to just be able to experience that grace and mercy that the Lord gave you?
You know, the biggest thing was I had to realize that the Lord was beside me the whole way. He never left my side. He was just waiting for me to come back to him. And, you know, I accepted Christ when I was 18 years old, but I didn't really realize how to go about growing in my faith and growing spiritually. You know, I didn't know how to get into Bible studies. I didn't know how to get in the Word. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know any of that. I just knew something was missing in my life. People ask me, you know, how could you have accepted Christ and try to follow him and then go and do the things you did? And I say, you know, Satan comes at you a whole lot harder once he knows you're a child of God than when he didn't have to worry about you. So, you know, it came down to the choices I made. And our first year of marriage, as a matter of fact, was not a great year of marriage. You know, we had a baby and we had two at the time. And, you know, it was one of those things where I was in the midst of my addiction. And she told me, you know, I've been praying about it and God's going to allow you to get back to baseball, but it's not going to be about baseball. It's going to be about sharing with people what he's done in your life and how he brought you through the storm you're going through right now. And I didn't believe her at the time. So now I look back watching her, you know, go through everyday life and trusting God in her life helped me out tremendously when I made a decision I wanted to get better.
Well, we're visiting with Josh Hamilton of the Texas Rangers, and probably you can really appreciate the parable of the prodigal son. I mean, do you see a lot of parallels there in your life?
I do. You know, we talked about it in chapel the other day. We're going through the story, and you can almost say exactly the same. You know, I went for the worldly things. You know, when I got drafted and got money, it was never, you know, satisfying or never felt right to me. And, you know, pretty much almost lost everything I had, you know, money, family, everything. And God was right there waiting for me to come back to him. And I'm so happy he is that God that, you know, you can have more than one chance with. And like I said, his mercy and grace was just has been so astonishing to me, you know, for me to be a part of his plan. Now I see is what it's all about.
We're visiting with Josh Hamilton of the Texas Rangers, and I want to visit with you a little bit about accountability. And I know you have that in your life now, and especially with Johnny Nerin, who is there with you and helps you before and after the games. And tell me what that looks like for you, accountability, and how important that is.
Well, it's not only Johnny, you know. You know, media helps hold me accountable on such a higher level. You know, as far as my sobriety, as far as my Christianity. You know, I don't want to do anything to make me look like the biggest hypocrite and everything. So, you know, Johnny's in place. You know, he's a great friend. He's a great coach. You know, he not only helps me, but he helps other players. And, you know, it's been such a blessing. Obviously, my first year last year was with the Reds, and to have him there, you know, made it a whole lot easier, not only for me, but my family. Because, you know, out of sight for my family, I'm not there all the time, and it helps them, helps my wife, and feel a little more at ease. So when I got traded this offseason, I'd already found out that Johnny wasn't coming back to the Reds. They weren't going to have him back. And, you know, Katie said, well, I feel peace, you know, guys give me peace about the whole situation. And, you know, when I got traded, the first thing John Daniels, the general manager with the Rangers, asked me, he said, what do you think about Johnny coming? And that was that peace he was feeling, you know, God's going to take care of it, and he did.
And, Josh, that's really a message I think all Christians need to understand, don't you think, that we really can't do this by ourselves. We need help.
Absolutely. I mean, I tried for so long when I was going through my addiction. It's not only about addictions and stuff. It's about life in general. You know, every day I wake up, I need help that day. You know, I give it to God and say, you know, I'm going to do the best I can to be a responsible man, husband, father. Today, and you got me in that. You know, I for the first time in my life with the addictions and to alcohol and drugs, I couldn't do it on my own. I'd always been successful, you know, with sports and school and all that stuff and been able to do it on my own. But, you know, this is what it took to get me to realize that I'm not living for myself and I can't do it on my own and I need God's help.
We talked earlier about accountability, but I'm sure it's such a blessing to have the wife that you have, someone that's been there for you through the good and the bad.
Absolutely. Me and Katie talk about this a lot. You know, we first got married. You know, neither one of our spiritual lives were really great. And, you know, while I was out using that whole first year, you know, God was working in her life and preparing her to help me transform mine. And, you know, we talk about it now. I mean, she, you know, besides the Lord, she's been that rock for me throughout this whole comeback and getting my life straight. So, you know, for those people who've gone through troubles and trials and things in their marriage, you can work it out through anything. Katie called me. I was actually separated from her for about two and a half, 3 months. And she called me at my grandmother's and she told me she forgave me. When she did that, she's never brought it up since. And, that's what the true meaning of that forgiveness is. And so she's a special lady, and I love her.
That was Texas Rangers All-Star Josh Hamilton with Sharing the Victory's Bill Bumpus. Man, do you know forgiveness is a powerful thing? When Josh talked about how his wife forgave him, it reminded me that God's forgiveness is just like that. He doesn't bring it up again. I mean, he gives us a clean slate. I've experienced that in my life. Are you in need of God's forgiveness? It's as simple as turning away from your sin, confessing your sin to God, and receiving His forgiveness. His grace is amazing. Clean slate. If you want to learn more about God's forgiveness, let me encourage you to go to morethanwinning.org. That's morethanwinning.org. As we mentioned last week, October is One Way to Play Month for FCA, and we have an outstanding program that encourages young athletes to play drug and alcohol free. The spokesman for this program is the powerful Steve Fitzhugh, and I'll visit with him next when Sharing the Victory returns.
One Way to Play Drug Free from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is one of the most successful programs in the country, reaching more than 500,000 student athletes. Here's Texas Rangers All-Star Josh Hamilton.
Use what God's given you and glorify Him the best you can, and that's by keeping, you know, your body free from the things that aren't supposed to be in. You know, the best I can do to put in my body what it needs to be fueled in a healthy way to glorify God when I play is what I need to do.
To sign the One Way to Play commitment, visit FCA.org. Sharing the Victory is more than just a radio program or magazine. Sharing the Victory is available 24 hours a day at sharingthevictory.com.
When you go to sharingthevictory.com, you'll find incredible resources for your walk with the Lord, including a four-part video study series featuring baseball stars Josh Hamilton and Brian Roberts, plus many more video interviews from some of your favorite athletes and coaches.
Check us out online at sharingthevictory.com. That's sharingthevictory.com.
Hi, I'm Aaron Campman with the Green Bay Packers, and you're listening to Sharing the Victory.
We're excited to have returning to us here on Sharing the Victory our One Way to Play national spokesman, Steve Fitzhugh. Steve, welcome back to Sharing the Victory.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
You know, one thing that I've always respected about you is that it seems like you have a non-negotiable mentality to serve Christ and Him alone.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't have to look beyond the front door of my home to see people who are living life without a plan. And when I found out there's a plan and a purpose for my life, I was one of the guys that said, I want it. And part of that is being really adamant about the things that destroy young athletes' lives, and particularly in my case at that time, the drugs and alcohol that were available, even the steroids. I had to draw the line, and I said, I'm not going out like that because I want all that God has for me.
Well, you know, what's really interesting here, Steve, and I know you know this probably better than anybody, is peer pressure. You know, with your faith, your non-negotiable stand in Jesus Christ, what do you try to inspire in these athletes regarding the peer pressure that they're around? How do they take that stand, put the stake in the ground and say, you know what, it's Christ and Christ alone. I'm not going to be swayed by the crowd.
Actually, I try to make a distinction between peer pressure and peer influence. And it's not so much that someone has you in a headlock trying to say, you better drink this beer, as it is the uncomfortable feeling of being the only one not drinking when all your friends are drinking or all your friends are doing something that they know they shouldn't. So that's the influence. And I try to communicate to our young athletes, our young folks, that it's all right to be who you are. And I even poke fun at myself, and I talk about how they used to tease me about the size of my head. My nickname was Lump. And, you know, I'll say things like that, and kids will laugh. But I'll say, you know what, it's all right to be Lump, because I'm going to be God's Lump, and I'm going to be the baddest Lump that ever lumped. You know? And it's all right to be yourself, because we take the air out of peer pressure and we minimize peer influence when we build up an identity in who we are in Christ, and that we have God's approval because He made us. And once you have that kind of approval, then you have enough courage to say, you know what, I don't have to do those things that you're doing, and I'm not validated by doing those things, and I have enough courage to go against the flow. Any dead fish can go with the flow. It only takes a live fish to go upstream.
You know, that's a great point, Steve, because I think sometimes we make, let's say in your situation, drugs and alcohol the means to an end. Let's say that everybody in the world stopped putting poor stuff in their system, stopped getting high. Would that solve the world's problems? It would. It may solve some problems, but inherently people would die and still go to hell. I mean, the important thing is, as you say, is that you learn the value that you have in Christ, and that He went to a cross, made a commitment to save your life, save your soul, to bring you into His fold, His care and love. And how do you get the gospel message across and help them understand that drugs and alcohol abuse are simply symptoms of a sin life?
Well, I can initiate a dialogue with them by earning the right to be heard. You know, the old saying is, students don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. Once students know that you care, then they're willing to listen to what you have to say. And what I have to say to them is, you were not designed to live life without the designer. There is a designer. Despite some of the things that you're hearing in school and some of the things you're hearing about evolution, there is a designer, and you are God's intention. And if students can grasp that and understand that, then we can give them tools by which to live that out. Most people who are caught up in drugs and alcohol do so because of compromises they made before the age of 21. And if we can steer students clear of those compromises before they turn 21, chances are those issues that are dogging the lives of adults will not be strongholds in their lives.
If you're like me, you loved what you heard from Steve Fitzhugh, and we're going to bring him back one more time next week. In the meantime, let me encourage you to find out more about the One Way to Play program by going to FCA.org and just click on One Way to Play. Speaking of One Way, one of my favorite baseball heroes of all time will join us next on Sharing the Victory. And this is a one-way man, bent on the truth and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't want to miss my conversation with former New York Yankee great Bobby Richardson. That's next on FCA's national radio program, Sharing the Victory.
One Way to Play Drug-Free from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is one of the most successful programs in the country, reaching more than 500,000 athletes and coaches. Here's former NFL safety and One Way to Play spokesman Steve Fitzhugh.
If we can encourage our young people to be true to their purpose, be true to God's call in their life, if we can encourage them to make the right decisions now, they've already won. Because when they get to college, someone is going to put that brew in their face and they have to decide now, not then.
To sign the One Way to Play commitment, visit FCA.org. You love sports, and you love reading about sports, but your favorite sports publication seems to have become little more than a fantasy league report. Enter Sharing the Victory magazine. Published 9 times a year by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Sharing the Victory gives you in-depth articles on some of today's most popular Christian athletes and coaches, as well as stories of FCA's impact around the world. You'll also get STV's cutting-edge 2-page poster highlighting one of the magazine's featured athletes. Order your subscription today at sharingthevictory.com. Sign up to receive the free Daily Impact Play email devotional at sharingthevictory.com/radio. Now back to Ron Brown and Sharing the Victory.
It's always great to visit with my guest, Bobby Richardson, the outstanding former Major League second baseman for the New York Yankees back in the heyday of the Yankees. Bobby, it's always just so inspiring for me and so many others to hear you talk. Thanks for being on Sharing the Victory today.
Well, thank you, Coach. It's always good to talk to you as well. And the Lord has really blessed and given me. I'm 73 years old now, Coach, and just still enjoying looking back and remembering days, but at the same time living today as well.
Well, you know, Bobby, I was born in the city that where you spent your time as a major league player. In fact, I think your debut was August 5th, 1955, which was probably a little longer than a year before I was born. So you've been a mainstay and a name that people haven't forgotten for a number of years. But something's happening there in the great city of New York at Yankee Stadium, and you've been kind of thrown in the mix with it, but Yankee Stadium is shutting down. How's that hitting you?
You know, it's really interesting because way back, and I'm not sure the year, but the early 70s, I was coaching University of South Carolina. And George Steinbrenner called and said, hey, we'd like you to come up and have the prayer of dedication for the new Yankee Stadium. They had been playing at Shea for 2 years, and they had been working on the stadium, refurbishing it. And so I did. I flew in the Gamecock plane up. Rizzuto picked me up at Teterboro Airport, went over and had the prayer for the dedication of Yankee Stadium. And I remember that I knew they had other things other than baseball there, and I wanted the prayer to encompass those other activities as well. So I made myself some notes, put them in my baseball cap, and when everybody supposedly was bowing their head, I took my hat off, of course, and used a couple of my notes. And Mantle was watching, and he didn't have his eyes closed, and he got on me pretty good. He said, anybody can read a prayer. Well, that was a long time ago, but you're right. The end has come. The last game at Yankee Stadium, home game, was on the 21st of September, Sunday night. They were playing against the Orioles, and I just happened to be there, and I was one of those that was honored by being asked to trot out to your position. I played second base. It just completed a great night.
We're talking to Bobby Richardson, the outstanding former Major League Baseball player with the famed New York Yankees back in yesteryear. And Bobby, you know, you had an outstanding career. You won 5 Golden Gloves. You were an MVP of a World Series. You've achieved a lot. But, you know, when I think of real success in your life, at least circumstantially, I think about the people that ask you to be the prayer at something like a dedication to Yankee Stadium or a Mickey Mantle asking you to pray for him. And people have seen something in you that went beyond just the baseball world. You know, as you've thought back over your career, do you have any reflections on what's been most meaningful to you as a Christian?
Well, you know, it started when I was 14 years old. I saw the film Pride of the Yankees, the story of Lou Gehrig. Gary Coppola played the part in the film, and I remember thinking, what a great organization, how I'd like to be a part of that. Mm. And then thinking about that, the New York Yankees had a farm club that had spring training in my hometown the very next year. I was 15 years old, and the manager, Mayo Smith, came up to me and said, I'll make sure you have a chance to sign with the Yankees. But at that same time, the pastor of my church sat down with my 2 sisters and I. My mom had arranged after church on Sunday for us to meet with him. opened his Bible and shared the good news that God loved me, sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to shed his precious blood, and promised that if I would repent of my sin and receive him as Savior, I might indeed have everlasting life. Well, I sure made that decision that day, and then not too many years after that, I met a young girl that not only knew Christ as Savior, but he was Lord of her life. And Betsy and I have been married now for 52 years, and the Lord, in a very humbling way, has given me some wonderful, wonderful opportunities over the years. I enjoyed playing for the Yankees. 9 out of the first 10 years that I played, they won the pennant, and we were playing in World Series competition. Mm-hmm. But just over the years, I've had the also humbling experience of having guys like Dick Houser call me one day, and he said, "Hey, I'm really discouraged. Can you encourage me from the Scriptures?" And I remember sharing with Dick a passage of Scripture, "Delight yourself in the Lord. Find your joy in him at all times. Never forget his nearness. Tell God in detail your problems, your anxieties." And then the promise that the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds as we rest in Christ Jesus. He thanked me and he said, "Hey, thanks for this." And I said, "Wait, got a friend that's had a battle with cancer," which Dick was going through at that time. It had been given perhaps 3-4 months to live at the most. And I sent a copy of his book to him. He read it. He called me back and really got excited about the Lord, was with Billy Graham on national television. He also shared on ESPN his testimony. And then when he died, his wife, Nancy, called and said, "Bobby, Dick has written out everything he wants for his memorial service at Tallahassee, Florida, where the baseball field has been named after him. So many of his friends don't know Christ. He wants you to come down and present the gospel in clarity." And you know, the Lord has followed through. I did go. There were a lot of people there. And over the years, he has given me wonderful opportunities just like that. And that's the meaningful thing, to know that your teammates, your friends, and those you meet and love have that wonderful opportunity of receiving the Lord Jesus, spending eternity with him.
I'm going to tell you what, Bobby Richardson, there isn't anybody quite like you in presenting the gospel, and I just appreciate your heart for him, and you've been a faithful steward of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. Thanks for being on Sharing the Victory with us today, Bobby.
Let me just add, it's his grace that caused that, and thank you for FCA over the years, over 50 years now. What a great organization that presents the gospel in clarity to so many young people. Wow. Thanks for you being a part of that, too.
Our guest today has been Robert Clinton, Bobby Richardson, the great second baseman of the New York Yankees from years ago, but a name that we'll always remember and forever in eternity as well. We have a weekly segment called Coach's Corner with our FCA president, Les Steckel. He'll give us a quick recap of what took place this summer at FCA camps. You're listening to Sharing the Victory, the national radio show from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
His goal?
To hit over 400.
Our goal?
To eliminate life's errors.
Swing and a miss, strike two.
While he grips the bat, we grip his heart. With a firm hold on Christ,
a long drive, it's going to be a home run.
He can eliminate the errors. Join the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as we strive to put the heart and soul in sports by impacting the world for Jesus Christ.
To learn more,
contact us at FCA.org.
That's FCA.org.
Legendary Nebraska football coach and current Nebraska athletic director Tom Osborne will be our guest next weekend on Sharing the Victory.
A coach with right values who really cares about their players can be really a tremendous influence.
We'll also hear from head football coach at Carson Newman College, Ken Sparks.
I can run my mouth and say a bunch of things, but I got to believe in my heart that what I'm saying is the truth.
Listen next weekend to Sharing the Victory.
Hi, Ron Brown back with you as Sharing the Victory rolls on. It's time to check in with our guy who coached college and pro football for more than 30 years, FCA President Les Steckel.
This past summer across the United States and in several foreign countries, FCA conducted over 260 camps, providing our tradition of a week of both perspiration and inspiration. Almost 50,000 young athletes and coaches attended these FCA camps to improve their performance in their chosen sport and also to learn how to draw closer to the Lord. As these athletes and coaches have returned to their schools, they have much to share with our huddle leaders. That's what we call those who conduct our Bible studies on campus, huddles. We have countless reports of amazing stories of dramatic conversions as well as renewed passion for the Lord, for those who already had a personal relationship with Him. That's our goal for all that we do at FCA. Again this year at camp, we had both a special theme and a camp verse everyone was to memorize. The theme was, Get Focused and Pursue the Prize. This theme was based on our camp verse from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, which says, in part, Forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Of course, all athletes and coaches want to win. We have goals and we all like prizes. But what is the prize that Paul is writing about in this passage from Philippians? It is, in fact, a prize that cannot be equaled anywhere else. The prize, Paul said, was promised by God is a deep, personal, and eternal relationship with the living God for all who confess their sins and acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our campers this summer were taught that to obtain the prize of an everlasting relationship with Christ requires a four-step process. Each of these steps begins with a D, which helps us in remembering them. Let me tell you about the four Ds. The first is desire, to know Him. Your desire is the key. If you focus on the right desires, you'll have the right goals to achieve true success. The second is discipline, to trust Him. Start with right desires, but to press ahead, we need discipline and trust in God. The third D, or third step, is dedication, to follow Him. Like any great athlete knows, this means you must give it all you've got, no matter how difficult the circumstances. The fourth is destination, to join Him. Once you link up with Jesus, you're on the team that's going to win it all. If you desire to really know Him, and if you have the discipline to trust Him, and the genuine dedication to follow Him, your destination is promised by the Lord to be one where you will live together with Him in glory. Let me encourage you to share these four D's with friends and family members so they can share the victory of eternal life with Jesus Christ.
You gotta join us next week because we got another great program for you. Tom Osborne, former great Nebraska head football coach, will be with us. Ken Sparks, present great head football coach at Carson Newman, will join us. And we're going to bring back, as I told you, Steve Fitzhugh, FCA's One Way to Play spokesman. Remember, there are two ways of doing sports, God's way or man's way. Which will you choose? From all of us here at Sharing the Victory, have a great week in Christ.
If you missed any part of today's program, you can listen anytime at sharingthevictory.com/radio. You can also listen to past programs and subscribe to receive the free weekly podcast. Also at our website, you can sign up to get the free daily impact devotional in your inbox, and you can find FCA resources from FCA Gear. Again, the website is sharingthevictory.com/radio. Have a great week. And make plans to join us at this same time next week for Sharing the Victory. Sharing the Victory is a production of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. FCA is the heart and soul in sports.